Now, my message this morning, it's I love what Rosita shared after she blessed the children. And what I'm saying this morning is not contrary to what Rosita said. You know, Rosita said, yeah, we should be childlike. And we've actually heard a sermon from Pastor Mac about that in recent months. And the emphasis I want to add there is childlike in our faith. The word actually says, concerning evil, we must be like children. We must be like innocent. But in our thinking, we must be mature. So what we're talking about the last 2 months, and today is the last Sunday pertaining to this specific theme, although we've heard it time and again, that this is actually a continuous focal point for all of us, because if church isn't about disciple making, then what is it about? You know, so that is a very key component. We're talking about growing. And the picture there is a baby that gets born into the Lord. That is the starting point when we talk about spiritual growth, when we talk about growth in Christ, is when you get born again. And when you do get born again, regardless of your age, you are a newborn in the Spirit, and you need to grow. We can't just stay as in the natural, just stay babies. We need to, as in the natural, grow and grow spiritually as well to a place of maturity. Because God's got a purpose for us. Babies can't do very much. They can't actually do anything by themselves straight after they were born. They are completely dependent on the adults around them to make sure they survive, you know, into childhood. And so likewise, spiritually, when we are born again, we don't really, in a sense, mean much in terms of kingdom building. A spiritual baby can't build much in terms of the kingdom. The spiritual baby is, of course, precious in the kingdom, as our unbelievers are precious to the Lord. But a spiritual baby is precious but can't build. The child needs to grow up to maturity so the child can start as an adult being a living stone in God's house. Adult referring to then maturity spiritually. So we're talking about maturity now, closing off our month on growth, because this is the goal for us. When it comes to growing, where are we growing to? And this is a word that we need to actually come to terms with, and you find it spoken of in the word, maturity. What does that mean for us to become mature in Christian terms? So there's a scripture that I'd like to start with this morning, and it's found in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. The writer says, therefore, let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. Okay, he was speaking about, you know, that fact that we need to grow from being babies to mature, from having to receive spiritual milk to being able to consume solid food, and that go on to maturity, it actually implies a progression, a process by which we continually make progress to maturity. So, as in most things, this is a process, and it requires our cooperation. Before we look at exactly what, as we take a deeper look at maturity, let's also look at, firstly, what maturity is not. What Christian maturity is not. It's not an aging process, okay? It's not your maturity in Christ is not dependent on how many years you've been around. It's not so much dependent on the extent of your lifespan, but rather the intensity of your lifespan. So when it comes to older folk in the kingdom, in the churches, we can't judge whether, you know, just from looking, whether they are mature or not. In most cases, I find they're pretty mature if they've committed their lives to Christ years earlier. But aging in itself is not going to give you that clue. It's not so much, life is not so much, or the quality of life, about your arteries as it is about your attitude. Okay, so, you know, your attitude can change everything, and it's really about, and you know, when we talk about maturity, how do you respond in a situation? If we think of, okay, the English definition for maturity, just, you know, in a regular dictionary, will tell you, you know, it's about full development, you know, something coming to its full potential. Now, for us as well, we know when we're dealing with children, you put a child in a difficult situation, or he's in a state of want, and, you know, sometimes they'll be kicking and screaming and responding in a certain way, which we would not expect of an adult put into that same situation. So if we look at just that as an idea as well, reaction. How do you react in a situation? And therefore, you know, we would often say, and the Bible would concur, that growing in terms of your character cannot really happen without suffering being in the mix there. You see, because character, in order to grow, has to be tested. And it is in difficult situations that character gets tested. You know, and yeah, we can really rejoice with Paul when he writes that he considers that the suffering of this present time does not compare to the glory that will be revealed in us. So he recognizes, you know, and he went through the worst kind of trials and tribulations. But he counted it joy, because he recognized what it was doing in him. He wanted that full reward. And so we mustn't despise difficulty. We mustn't shy away from tough times. There are no shortcuts in the kingdom when it comes to growth. We need to man up. We need to step up to that plate. So maturity and character development will come by hard times. Christian maturity is not instantaneous and final. It's not something that just happens in an instant. The day that you get saved, you're not immediately mature. We know that salvation is a process. The word says those who are being saved. It is a process. It's not instantaneous. It's not automatic. The third point there. Maturity is not going to come merely by reading the Word of God. Reading the Word of God is vital. It's crucial. But that is not. This is not a quick solution, a quick fix to maturity. It has to be coupled with application. You see, information cannot just stay information. The Word has told us it must become revelation and then application. We need to understand the Word. You can only understand the Word by way of the Holy Spirit's involvement. And then you also need to trust the Holy Spirit and ask Him and rely on Him on a daily basis to help you live out that Word, to apply that Word. It's not the mere possession of spiritual gifts. Paul writes to the church in Corinth. He says there in the first chapter, he says, you know, you're not lacking any spiritual gift. But later on, I think in chapter 3, he writes, you know, I have to give you guys milk because you weren't ready for solid food and you're still not ready, he says. So they've got all the spiritual gifts, but they're not mature. It's not so much about having the gifts, but more the production of the fruit of the Spirit. Not so much just acquiring the gifts of the Spirit, but acquiring and producing the fruit of the Spirit, growing in that. I've always said that if you go and look in Galatians 5 and you list the 9 fruit of the Spirit, you can do a bit of a self-assessment there, you know, just between yourself and God, and you know, something to add to your prayer list. And you can maybe give yourself a rough indication, you know, where am I in these 9 fruit? If I have to, you know, do a barometer here, or, you know, draw up a graph, how do I measure up just simply, you know, 1 to 10 in terms of the fruit? You know, have I grown in these areas? Where must I trust God, ask Him to help me focus and grow, give me opportunity to grow in that area? If you want to grow in the gift, at least in the fruit of patience, you know, if you want to grow in that and you pray, Lord, please help me to grow in patience, you better believe there's a couple of long queues waiting for you. Because you're not going to be able to tick that off, I've grown in patience, without actually having to wait. And whether you've grown or not is determined about with what attitude are you waiting. Because we've all waited in queues, but we don't all necessarily have great patience, because we are very impatient in that queue, you know, and we get irritable and frustrated, you know, and someone must just bump us or something, and then, you know, the game is on. But if you pray for patience, prepare for queues, all right? And that's great. God loves answering those prayers. He wants that. He wants you to grow. You know, so we can hide away. We can try and avoid growing, you know. We can still get to heaven with minimal fruit. But you're going to be missing out so much in life. You're going to be missing out so much just in terms of getting to know God, getting to see the world through His eyes. No, growing comes through challenge. Christian maturity is not merely or simply, in simplistic terms, copying Christ. Okay, and when I say that, I say it with an asterisk, because we have said over the course of these 2 months that our common purpose in life for every believer, for every person, is to be conformed to the image of Christ, to become like Christ. That is our common purpose. Beyond that, each of us have a unique calling that's going to involve a list of acts of obedience that God would want us to fulfill. Specific, coupled with the specific gifts that He's given you to complete those tasks. Now, we are called to become like Christ. But when I say that we are not called to copy Christ, it is in the sense that we cannot do it in human terms. You cannot just, you know, read what Jesus did in the Gospels. You can't give an excerpt of the Gospels to an unbeliever and say, look what Jesus did there in that paragraph. Or go, you know, read the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5. Okay, now go and do it quick, you know. He won't be able to do that. You cannot copy Christ without the Holy Spirit. So this happens over time. It's a process where we become more Christ-like. So yes, that we can do what Jesus did. He said that we would do that, and even greater things. But there's no way that we can do it in human terms or merely through human understanding or abilities. It is supernatural. Jesus didn't perform His works just through human strength. He didn't perform any miracles before He got baptized and anointed by the Holy Spirit. But after that, in the same way, we need the Holy Spirit's intervention. We need the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit resting on us to perform anything like what Jesus did. But we must go and look at Jesus and see what he did. Let's look at the next scripture, and you know it. Okay. I'm jumping to Hebrews 12. We have to go and look at Jesus. That is our goal, to become Christ-like. So why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you look at Jesus? Do you know the Gospels? Have you read through all the Gospels? Hopefully we've read through it many more times than just once. To see who did, get a glimpse of who Jesus was. Get an idea of his motivation. How he saw the world. How he saw people. How he related to God. And what he did. He's the hope of the world. And he came into a broken environment. A suffering environment. An environment stricken with sin. And he started changing one life at a time. Showing us how to do it. You know, so we often ask ourselves, and it was a craze for a long time. Everyone wore the WWJD, you know, bracelets. What would Jesus do? And we can actually say, well, WDJD, what did Jesus do? You know, because the Bible and Jesus is still today the answer for every challenge and circumstance that you have. So you can just go and look. The blueprint for all your problems, how to solve them, is in here. You can see, what did Jesus do? And then we can, as the Lord grants us divine appointments and opportunity, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we can do likewise. And it's not in human strength. You don't see any evangelist on stage, you know, at some crusade, and you often see signs and wonders there, and maybe, you know, he gets a word, you know, that the Lord wants to heal crippled people right now. And you see like 10 people that are normally in the front here in wheelchairs standing up, amazing, healed miraculously. He did not do that in his own strength. He's not after that, it's like, whoa, I'm so tired now. You know, look at all of these people. No, he has the mic, you take over. I healed 10 people now. You know, it's not like that. You're not doing anything that Jesus did in your own strength. Impossible. By the Holy Spirit. The anointing of the Holy Spirit. But we need to go and look at Jesus. He is the starter and the finisher, the founder and the perfecter of our faith. We need to keep our eyes on him. We need to aim for that. If you want to get somewhere, you've got to aim. Otherwise, you're not going to get there. Okay, rewind. One back, please. We spoke about what maturity is not. So, that's the Greek word, teleos. That's the word that Paul uses in the New Testament when speaking of this maturity. In the King James Version, you'll see many times the word perfect, but in more recent versions, you'll see the word mature, which is perhaps a closer translation to the Greek, because this is the word that Paul uses, teleos. And so what it means is an end, a goal, a limit, and it actually has two facets. Full development of your abilities, your powers, and the attainment of some goal. The realization of the proper end of one's existence. Can you see there how that would differ from our definition of perfect? Because we understand also that when we get saved, we're not made perfect in an instant. Your spirit comes alive to God and you're forgiven and you're renewed and regenerated, but your soul still takes a while. In actual fact, the rest of your life to come in line with God's perfect will for you. And so it's a process. And so the word maturity is a better description than perfect, where it's talking about the development of your abilities until an eventual state of perfection. And we see that in the Word. There's the point of salvation at John 3 verse 5, being born again. And then there's that place of ultimate salvation or glorification when we're going to come face to face with Christ. And we'll be transformed in an instant, made completely perfect in His presence. That is God's will for us. You see, if you're not saved and you come into God's presence, you'll be completely consumed. If you come to Him covered in your sin, you will not survive. But if you come to Him ready washed in the blood of Jesus, then you're made perfect. There's no half measures with God. There's no in-between. There's no lukewarm. It's hot or cold. We need to decide where we want to be. Do we want this? Do we want God's will for our lives? Do we want to grow? Do we want to become like Christ? Or are we playing games here and we're going for 50%? I'm pretty serious about it. I wasn't when it was had to do with my studies at university before I got saved. I was aiming for 50%. You know, you got to live a balanced life. There's a loopbaan, a renbaan, I'll die. You know, you got to make time to socialize. If you get 51%, you studied too hard. You spent too much time studying. You know, too little time down the pub. If you got 49%, you know, sure you had good intentions, but you just didn't work hard enough. So 50%, that was the goal, and in most cases, that was what I got. And that was by God's grace, because, you know, for the amount of time I put in, I deserve far less than that. So God was gracious to me even before I knew Him. I spent way too much time, you know, doing the socializing thing. Yeah, so for us, we've got to be sure of what our goal is. We cannot live aimless lives. We've got to actually aim at something. If you aim at nothing, you're going to hit it all the time. That's what you're going to get, nothing. If you want something you've never had before, you've got to do something you've never done before. We've got to step up to the plate. We've got to get serious about growing, about becoming like Christ. Colossians 1 verse 28, fast forward 2, please. So Paul writes, Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching who? Everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. Is this just like, well, your teens, you know, what you're saying sounds good, and we'll leave it up to the church leaders. You guys can make it a focus. You can grow to maturity. You know, thanks, I'll try, you know, by God's grace. But it's not just for me. It is for everyone. Paul was serious. He didn't mince his words. He told the church at Corinth. He rebuked them. Why do you guys still need spiritual milk? You guys must be growing. You need to move on to maturity. God has got some chunky challenges lying ahead, and you're not going to make it if you have this attitude. If you're just going, you know, lackadaisically through the process. Everyone ought to be mature in Christ. This is a goal for all of us. We've already spoken Romans 8 about that last month. Hebrews 5 verse 14. Solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. For me, that is another important aspect of maturity, is that you can distinguish good from evil, especially in these days. We need to know that this is what God wants for us. We need to be aware and vigilant in this regard, because the times are coming and are already here when people are calling good bad and bad good. And the church is meant to be leading the people. And if the church doesn't know what is good and what is bad, well, then there's not a lot of hope for us. We need to grow in our discernment. Many false prophets will rise up and try and deceive the people. We need to stay close. Our eyes need to be on Jesus. And we need to know, let's go to the next scripture, we need to know what the will of God is. Colossians 4, that you may stand mature and fully assured in all the will of God. Say, all the will of God. We need to understand what the will of God is. We need to know it. That is a very important aspect of maturity. Understanding, being able to distinguish between good and bad. Knowing the will of God. And of course, implied in that is walking in the will of God. There are many that know, at least informatively, about the will of God, but they choose to walk in a different way. So we can know the will of God here, rhema, at least logos, written word. And as we walk with the Lord, He's going to reveal to us specific word for your specific situation, rhema word, revelation word of God. That is also an important aspect of His will for our lives. That you cannot know if you're disconnected from Him. So we need to know the full will of God, His perfect will, His full counsel. We need to be mature to understand that. We need to know the Logos and the Rhema. And of course, the conclusion is God is asking of us obedience. Maturity will come through that path. God can only take you as far as your last step of obedience. How are you responding to your current challenge and situation? Take a silly example. When we get sick, do we immediately run for the medicine cupboard? Or do we first pray? You know, how are we living out our faith? We know, I'm not saying God doesn't use medicine. But I'm saying, where's our priority lie? What's our faith look like? How do we live that out? We need to take stock. We've spoken about this. We need to take stock. Where am I now? And it doesn't have to be a very abstract thing. You can ask yourself and you can test yourself and you can plot it on a graph if you want, for your own information and to challenge yourself. What are the difficult things in your life and how do you respond to that? And you can go and research what would the biblical response be? What did Jesus do in those situations? Jesus went through every challenge and temptation that we can face. It's all there. The answer is there. And we can, the Word of God, so Peter says, you know, Peter reiterates the Word and says that we can be holy, even as God is holy. It's possible. Without the Holy Spirit, it would not be possible, but we have the Holy Spirit, and He's called the Holy Spirit because He's holy, and He helps you to be holy. Someone say holy, because I've said it 4 times. Okay. The Holy Spirit. It is possible. We can become Christ-like. Yes, not 100% until the day we die, but we can continue growing up to 99 until the hour of our death. Let us focus on that. Let us focus on Jesus. Let us become more like Jesus. The world around us needs to see Jesus. Who's going to show them Jesus? God ordained that the church would be the one to show Jesus. We need to come into that place. So people, what I'm saying is the gospel is always good news. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23 and 24. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. This is such a beautiful portion of scripture. And may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. Those two verses are so loaded. There's no half measures there. May the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, your whole spirit, soul, and body. Be kept blameless. Our God is not a God of 50% or half measures. You know, he's not half glass full, half glass empty. He doesn't have that kind of debate and discussion with himself. He's like 100%. Yeah, glass is full, 100%. It's 100%. His plans for you is 100%. He's got a perfect plan for your life. And he's given you his spirit. He's given you everything you need. Not just half of what you need. He didn't give you half a toolbox. He gave you every tool, everything you need to fulfill your calling. It's all available to you if you want it. And if you'll use it, you will complete the work. You'll fulfill the call. It's all there. You can do it. This is good news. God doesn't say, no, well, let's see how far you get, you know. I'm waiting at the finish line. I'm timing you, you know. And he's standing there with a cane for everyone who comes late. That is not God. He says, I'm going to run the race with you. I'm going to help you get there. Will you let me help you? You're going to yoke with me? He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. That is confident writing. That is Paul writing, and Paul would know. One thing that we can't argue with is Paul knew the Lord arguably better than anyone else alive today. He knew the Lord fully. He knew the Lord in his sufferings. He pressed into the Lord like no one else, 14 years in Arabia, having seen Jesus Christ. See, when you can see Jesus, and we can all, the Lord is, he's waiting for us. Draw near to me and I'll draw near to you. Do you really want to see him? Do you want to become like him? Then you've got to see him. Do you really want to see him? Are you pressing into him? Are you praying? When you face a difficult situation, do you first ask him, Lord, what must I do here? Your Lord, that's so difficult. Lord, please give me the strength to do that. Do you see Jesus? And I mentioned this scripture the last time, and I just want to close with it again. So amazing. 1 John 3 verse 2. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. That is the good news. So the word of God doesn't hold before us the impossible. It's not meant to be something that's going to discourage us or make us feel like, well, we're just never measuring up. Isn't it just awesome that God has revealed to us his plans for mankind from beginning to end? The past, that where we were not there, we didn't know what happened, but now we do. And the future, where we are not yet and we don't know what's going to happen, but now we do. And God has revealed it all to us. And he has said, yes, I want you to be like my son, Jesus Christ. I'm giving you another helper to help you get there, if you're going to cooperate. And you will get there if you stay close to him. You will get there. For us personally, no, we don't know how amazing it's going to be. but it's going to happen. If we stay in relationship with Jesus, if we keep Him as Lord of all in our lives, it's going to happen. It's going to be amazing. There are no words in our language that can describe what it's going to be like to be with Jesus one day. But it is worth every challenge and every bit of suffering that comes across our path to stay close to Him and to press in. We shall see Him as He is. How amazing is that? We are here, we are fellowshipping, we are growing together, we're wanting to get to know God more together. We're doing our spiritual journey together. How amazing is it going to be when we can see that day, when we can see Jesus in all of His glory, where we can see Him face to face. So now we have encounters with Him. We have encounters with Him, with aspects of Him. We have experiences with the Lord, but never the fullness and the fullness of His glory. Never to that extent, because we are not ready for that. But that day when we will see Him as He is, yo. I mean, that's the end. That is the end for your life when you see Him as He is in the fullness, 100% fullness of His glory. If Jesus had to step in here now in the fullness of His glory, well, that will mean that the end has come, because we don't need anything beyond that. There's no need to continue this existence beyond that. That is the ultimate. That is the pinnacle. That is the conclusion of all things. When we see Him that day as He is, that is what we want. The choice is ours whether we're going to see Him. Do you want to see Jesus? Do you really want to see Him? The choice is yours. Will you continue to follow Him? Will you continue by faith? Right now it's not by sight, but it's by faith. But one day it will be by sight. Faith is believing what you don't see. And the reward of that faith is seeing what you believe. Let us pray. Father God, this morning we want to thank You, Lord, for Your great love, Your never-ending love, Your love that has no requirements or additions or list attached to it. You love us, Lord, right now, as we are. You love us. Lord, You know that even this morning as the word came, Lord, You know that many of us, we have lots of challenges and we are still broken in many areas. And Lord, we just want to thank You this morning that Your heart is that we will receive healing, that we will not continue in this life suffering unnecessarily. When You have said that we can be healed, when You have a better way for us. And that way is Jesus. Lord, You are the way for us. You have asked us to follow You. I pray, Lord, that You will help us to stay on that path. That You will help us to see You, Lord. Thank You, Lord, and I believe many of us can testify, Lord, that even when we start straying, Lord, You have been so faithful to even leave the 99 and come and fetch us. Lord, this morning I pray if there's anyone here that's straying, Lord, that You will fetch them, Lord. Bring them close to You, Lord. Let them see You once more. Lord, let us not neglect such a great salvation. You are our only hope. There is no other way. Help us, Lord. Please keep your eyes closed. I want to just make an appeal this morning. This morning, if you have been been straying from following Jesus. This morning, if you came here this morning and you know that you're not very close to Jesus, you know, and maybe you even thought, well, what's really the point of going to church? Because you even know that if it's not about Jesus, if Jesus isn't the purpose for you, then there's no point. And you know that, but you still came this morning. And I want to say, but God had an appointment with you today. And right now, He wants to bring you back. Right now, He wants to come and restore, and He wants to heal, and He wants to save you. So if you feel like the sheep that was straying, and you want to come back, you want to come back so badly to that place of intimacy with Jesus, then just lift your hand up. I can pray for you. Thank you for that hand. I see that hand. Lord, yeah, I just want to thank you, Lord, for these precious people, Lord God, that, and they're saying, Lord, they want to come back to you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that this morning, Lord, you speak courage to them. You speak hope to them. Thank you, Jesus, that you are the only one that can save us. I want to ask us all to stand, please, this morning. I want to ask those that put up their hand, please come forward. I want to pray for you. I want you to step out from where you are. I want you to come to me. I want to pray for you this morning. I want you to step into that place of new life right now. Please come forward. Please come forward. Thank you. Please give them a hand, church. This is courageous. Please come forward. Thank you. Okay. Thank you. Hallelujah. All right, guys. Yeah. Please pray after me. And church, if you can just stretch out your hands, just in blessing these fine men. Father God, I come to you this morning, and I'm broken, and I need saving. Jesus, I know you're the only one that can save me. And you thought of me at the cross when you bled for my sin. Please forgive me. Make me new. I believe in you. You rose from the dead. Come and lead me in a new life. Help me to follow you. Pour your Spirit out in my heart. Teach me your ways. Show me your love. Thank you that I'm now forgiven. I'm saved. Not of my own doing, but only by your grace. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Can anyone raise a shout of joy? Hallelujah. Okay. Thank you. Do you guys mind just sitting here and I'm going to pray for you afterwards again? I want to just invite anyone as well. If the Holy Spirit is laying something specific on your heart and you know, the Lord is speaking to you, we'd love to agree with you in prayer around that. I want you to please come forward and sit here at the front, and then we'll get a facilitator, someone to pray with you. Don't leave a loose end before you go home. If you know God is ministering to you, make sure you just spend some time and just, you know, pray about it before you go home, before you go and have some fellowship. Otherwise, enjoy your afternoon. And yeah, remember, also, we have a service tonight in Groendal, the rugby club, at 6 p.m. oh no, it's Gwen's last Sunday, and Olivia. Olivia, don't you want to come forward? We'd love to pray for you guys quickly. And you guys know Gwen and Olivia. And Gwen is the one who's made our church beautiful the last few years with her gift of botany and all the beautiful flowers that we always see in the foyer. What's going to happen now, Gwen? Hey, have you discipled someone in that? I hope so. Okay. We are going to miss you so much. But I believe it's not the last time we'll see you. Okay. 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 Moving to Zimbabwe. So we do trust to see them again. Otherwise, we'll have to send mission teams, and you must send missions down here. But let's pray for Gwen and Olivia. Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for the gift that Gwen and Olivia are, Father. You love them, Lord. You sent them here for a reason, Father. Lord, thank you, Lord, for your hand of favor that is so evident on their lives, Lord God. How you've carried them through such trying times, Father. And how Gwen always has a testimony, Lord, of, Lord, how you're just blessing her and just coming around her and assisting her and helping her, Father. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, that even as she leaves this faith family, moving to Zim, Father, thank you, Lord, that you go with her and you go before her and make her path straight. Lord, we pray blessing on Gwen and Olivia in the name of Jesus, and we send them from this family, Lord, as a gift, Lord, into Zimbabwe. Thank you, Lord, that you help them find their feet, that you help them find a new faith family there where they will continue to grow, continue to serve, continue to make your kingdom a beautiful place. Thank you for the fragrance of Christ that they bring with them, Lord. And we bless them in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.
I'd like to thank all of you so much. Before you knew me, I prayed for you. I've actually got notes that I found for you, the body of Christ. And yeah, you're written down before I ever came to South Africa. And the flowers working in winelands. And there was nowhere in the natural that I could ever do that. And God just kept on leading me and opening doors. And so I just want to thank him and give him all the glory for answering a prayer of about 7 years. And I just want to thank him for each and every one of you, because you are so precious to us. Olivia remains here to carry on as a boarder. So, yeah. Leave in your hands, and thank you so very much. Just want to tell you that I love all of you. We're so grateful. Thank you.
Thank you. God bless you. Have a great day.